All right. Okay. So the first item, let me pull this up here, is application number 22.1421, 25 Thompson Place, and it's regarding install one 11 by 25 black aluminum plaque below existing plaque into the mortar joints. So this should be pretty straightforward. All right, so if applicant's here, just introduce yourself and you can present.
Bernard Lebo, I assume I can be heard.
Yes.
Yep. I'll promise to make this less than a 5-minute presentation. I'm here representing the sign company, but the building is owned by Crosspoint Associates. Sean Newman has approved the application, as you know, and I'm joined on the call by Jason McCusker, the Amuda's Director of Global Workplace and Real Estate. Company's a leader in data access, founded in 2015. And with offices in College Park, Maryland, Columbus, Ohio, London, and the fine city of Boston. They occupy a full floor and are in a growth mode. Mm-hmm. I've been pointed out by Forbes as a best startup employee. Okay. That being said, they are here seeking permission to mount the plaque below the other software company, Catalant, in a timely and sized properly manner. The plaque will be installed into the mortar, not into the brick. And we look for your comments and review and approval.
All right. And looks like they're the same dimensions as the sign that's there now.
Exactly the same.
All right. And it's the same material, just different colors?
Correct.
Okay. First of all, I forgot to announce the commissioners on that we have on right now. It's Commissioner Gorganian. Is she here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and then Commissioner Smilage and myself, Beriducci, and Commissioner Rohde will be joining us shortly. All right, pretty straightforward. I think you're doing all the right things going into the mortar. It looks like, you know, size-wise, it's gonna be fine with the existing sign. Do the other commissioners have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, just like clarification, and I think it may be our mistake that it's 11 inches by 25 inches and not 11 feet by 25 feet.
Oh,
correct. It's inches, 100% inches.
That's what the hearing notice says, feet. So,
all right, that's good.
Okay. I have no problems with it other than
that. Sorry about
that. All right. So, if there's no other commissioner comments, let's just quickly.
I like the logo. Okay. It's nice.
Yeah.
I will move to approve as submitted.
All right. I just want to quickly open it up to public.
Oh, sorry, David.
And do we have my script here? Okay. Members of the public and I have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussion. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. So I'm going to guess there shouldn't be too controversial here, so there probably will be no comments. But so I assume nothing's coming through?
Nope.
Okay. All right, so we'll close public comment, and it looks like we already have a motion by Lynn on accepting as presented.
I'll second. Second.
Okay, so Commissioner Smilage.
Yes.
Gorganian.
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, yep. All right, next is application 23.0035. That's 372 Congress Street, and the proposed work is using existing metal frame, replace fabric and painted signage of valance and awning. So again, the applicant can introduce themselves.
I am going to say that unless someone interrupts me right now, that the applicant is not here, because I did not hear from them at all today, and I tried to contact them a couple of them, so I think that they might just not be here, but I wanted to include them anyway.
All right. You mean you think they're not here at all, or just not in time for this?
I don't think that they're here at all.
They're not at all. Okay.
Yeah. But all right. At the end of the hearing too, just to double check.
Yeah, we'll check again, but all right. So we'll go on to the next item, and that is application 23.0079. That's 300 A Street. And the proposed work is paint various existing front facade features.
Yes, good evening. My name is Gabriel Zavala with Dyer Brown Architects. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I have with me this evening three other members of the team whom I'd like for them to introduce themselves. Marie, if you would like to introduce yourself and your role on this project.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gabriel. Hi, commissioners. My name is Marie O'Brien. I'm the property manager at 300 8th Street, working on behalf of National Development, on behalf of the ownership group AEW.
And Nick, would you like to introduce yourself?
How you doing, everyone? I'm Nick Farmer, the owner of AMF Painting Corporation, performing the work at 300 8th Street.
And then my colleague, Brianna.
Hi, I'm Bri Verbacca. I'm with Dyer Brown. I'll be on the design team.
So thank you very much for hearing us out this evening. This project is a painting project located for 300 8th Street, which you see on the screen in front of you. We're at the intersection of 8th Street, which is to the right of the H-shaped building, and Necco Street, which is perpendicular to Fort Point Channel. So you can see that we're about one block in from the Fort Point Channel itself. Mm-hmm. And directly to, on the other side of 8th Street, there's a large expanse of parking lot. And on the west side, which is towards the bottom past the small row of trees, is another large expanse of parking lot. Next slide. So what's happened is over a period of time, at some point in the past, 300 8th Street had a lobby project wherein a couple of elements were installed. One part being a bi-level, a two-level front canopy at the entry. The lower canopy consists of a zinc-coated steel structure. And then up at the very top, you see a metal decking and flat roof canopy. And these are supported by a steel structure with the struts. And then on the lower left and at the far upper right, you'll see insulated steel panels that frame the entry. If you can see from the photographs, they're probably even better seen when you zoom in, but on any one of these, you'll see that on the steel, the paint has started to spall off. There's been paint failure. And then on the steel panels themselves, over a period of time, they have mottled just because of the severe exposure of the sun. And then both of these, being only a block away from the Fort Point Channel, have also been exposed to the salt air that's, you know, prevalent in this area. So our proposal this evening is to paint those elements with new paint finishes after the failed paint has been removed. Next slide. So here's the elevation, the west elevation that I was showing on the site earlier. So we're only concerned with the steel panels, which you see, framing the entry to the lobby, and then that steel structure. That steel structure is composed of three major elements. The very bottom are the stainless steel column covers, which will be left alone. We have no intention of touching those. And then the steel structure itself, which consists of those two levels of canopy, and then the steel supporting members. We are not modifying in any way. We're not adding to these members. We simply want to remove any of the failed paint and then repaint. Next slide. So what we are proposing here is, because the paint has over time on those steel panels faded out, either because of the strong western exposure or because of the salt air, we're proposing to clean those elements as well as the steel, and then apply an appropriate primer and then paint finish coat. On the left, you'll see that the current state of the steel panels. As you get closer, you'll see a bit more mottling, you'll see uneven fading, and in some cases where the paint has failed altogether. On the right-hand side is our proposal, which is to paint the steel, the white members, repaint them as white, so we're not changing, But any of the steel panels and any of the gray painted steel members of the canopy structure, we are proposing to paint with gray. However, we would like to go ahead and I think do a little bit better blending into the existing building. With the next slide, what we're proposing to do is to tie into the paint of the wooden windows. There's dozens of windows on this building and they all have that same paint. So what we're proposing to do is transition from the existing condition on the left to the condition on the right, which is a photorealistic representation of that new paint color to match the windows. Nick and I have been working, you know, closely hand in hand to also develop an approach of how to do this, you know, using fairly common, you know, products. But the paint coating itself is one that's very specific to an environment such as this, which is to go ahead and use a Tenemic Series 104 paint. It is a paint product that is developed for areas subject to paint spray or salt air. I'm sorry, salt spray or salt air.
Okay. All right. So one question, you're not planning to paint the windows. You're just looking at taking that as the inspiration for the color.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. All right. I mean, I'd probably speed it up a little bit if I'm assuming you're not changing any of the structure. This is just simply a painting project, correct?
That is correct.
And the idea is separate from the panels, you're just looking to paint everything else, the existing colors that they are.
The white will be replaced with white, correct?
Yeah, and a more durable probably paint that's going to hold up to the harsh marine environment. So.
Yes, Tenemic is famous, is well known in the architectural community for their paint coatings for industrial projects.
Okay. I know this whole project actually was done just before the commission was put in place, because I do remember it going up, but we did not actually review the design of this. Are these metal, the structures and stuff, is it a galvanized metal that's painted, or is it raw metal that has coatings on it?
We had reached out, Marie had done a fair amount of investigation to see if there was any archival material when the building exchanged hands. And the prior ownership had not delivered any shop drawings or any information on those on those steel panels, but they are steel and they have a dimple textured finish and they're the original factory coating.
Okay. All right.
Otherwise, had shop drawings been available, presumably they would have incorporated whatever the color was that we could have matched.
Right. Yep. All right. So if that's if you're finished with your presentation.
Yes, I'm open to questions.
Okay. And do the commissioners have any thoughts on this?
I would just say that this sounds like routine maintenance, except for the color change.
Yeah.
Yes.
And are you okay with the color change? I think it's fine, you know.
I think it's an improvement.
Yeah. So,
Tom right. here. Sorry, I just joined.
Yep. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
This. I don't know if you heard were you here to hear the presentation or?
Just sort of the very, very, very tail end.
All right. Basically, it's a repainting of what exists. Same coloration, except for the front, the panels that you see in these two photos. The left is the existing, which has got peeling problems and such, and that's the basic color. The right-hand side is a rendering showing the color change, which will then be a darker gray to match the darker gray of the windows.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's really the basis of this. So, all right. So if there's no other, I think it's fine. I mean, you know, I don't think we have any problem with the color change or anything like that. So I'll quickly open it up to the public here. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov.
I'm not getting any email comments or seeing anyone raise their hand.
All right. One thing I just will mention, and I guess I'll throw this out to Gabrielle. Do you feel that you would like to see the applicant send you the specifications on the paint that they're using?
We included the paint in the application.
Oh, you did? Okay.
The safety data sheets. That is correct. Yeah. We made it a point to include those.
Yeah, okay. With that, yeah. So that's okay. All.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So that's that seems fine. So if somebody would like to make a motion on this?
Sure. I move we approve as submitted.
All right. Second?
I'll second.
All right. So Commissioner Rohde?
Votes yes.
All right. Smilage?
Yes.
And Gorganian?
Yes.
All right. And the chair votes yes. All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Where are we here? Application 22.1262, 303 Congress Street. And the proposed work is installation of a sunshade. So the applicant can introduce themselves. And
Good evening. My name is Jeffrey Brown from Hessine Associates. I'm joined here with Dorothy Day. Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to present this evening. We're presenting a shade structure that is a light demountable furniture product that would be placed onto an existing roof deck for open view at 303 Congress Street with, and I'm sure with all the hot weather we've been having, we can all appreciate the importance of shade in outdoor venues. So as part of OpenView's efforts to get people back into the office and enjoy the city, they're in the process of refurnishing their roof deck and would like to add a demountable shade structure to facilitate the use of their roof deck over the day while it has lots of sun. These first couple images are of the existing condition of the roof deck and the elevation. Next slide, please. And this is the plan where you can see in yellow, the roof deck wrapping around the 4-point channel is down the page and the Children's Museum would be to the left. Next slide, please. The structure is, you can see dashed in red, is approximately 26 feet, 2 inches long, which almost exactly corresponds with the spacing of the building and is 13 foot three wide and 8 foot six high. Next slide, please. As you can see in these initial elevation studies that we did, the structure is not very visible in elevation from the north. On the left image, you can see it just extending out beyond the step back of the upper level, the seventh level of the building. And then from the 4-point channel or west side, it is completely in line with the base structure of the building. Next slide. So these are the first images of the mock-up, which shows the profile, and it's built out of many metal studs, many more than what the actual shade structure would have as structural elements. Those are just dashed in red here and to give you a sense of what would actually be there. But the profile is accurate there. Those would all be 4-inch square metal tubes and beams. Next slide, please.
So what's in red there is what is actually going to be seen. All the other stuff is just temporary structure. Is that what
you're saying? Yeah, that's all just temporary for them to just build to build out that profile in a reasonable manner for the mock-up. Yes, correct.
All right.
So this is our aerial site plan with the 4-point channel down on the page and the Children's Museum to the left. Next slide, please. And then these are some initial perspective images, which also kind of the structure is fairly discrete. And you kind of have to zoom in to actually see it because it blends in with the existing base structure. Next slide, please. So this is a digital image of the shade structure from the roof deck. And it's showing, that it'll be a dark material. It has operable louvers on the roof on top of it that can be adjusted throughout the day. And you get a sense of the some of the furnishings that will be up there also. There is shown in this image, in the left image, you can see a vertical shade on the front that we'll discuss a little bit more in a moment. Next slide, please. So then this slide is just reviewing the building, the shade structure itself. It's fairly simple. You can see all the framing elements in the upper left. These will be slotted over a base plate, which has which the structure sleeves into. And then we will be mounting this onto a tube steel stanchion or stub up, which will be flush with the walking plane of the roof deck, and so that it could be removed and not create a hindrance on that roof terrace. So this approach has been conceptually reviewed with an engineer, but still needs to be sized.
So could I pause you there? So yeah. The skeletal structure that's in the left upper shot there, is that what we'll be seeing in the winter? In other words, do all the louvers go away, or is that the louvers will be there on the top?
In the winter, the louvers, my understanding, Dorothy, maybe you could weigh in on this. My understanding is that the louvers would remain in place.
The louvers will remain in place, yeah. They might be open to the vertical position so that the snow doesn't pile up on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, go ahead.
So next slide, please. So this just giving another image of the building and a color sample for the indigo, which we feel complements the building pretty well, and it's slightly darker than the existing coloring of the building, but feel that it blends in fairly well. So additionally, the owner is interested in an optional integrated roller shade, which is what we were showing on the west side, the kind of off-white element that was coming down, and having integrated down lights into the louvers. The lights are the lights that would be added are certainly much more discreet than the existing kind of wall-mounted bug lights that are on the facade now, and would essentially just provide a low level of ambient light or mood lighting on the roof deck at that location. And the west-facing shade would greatly increase the ability to use the space in the afternoon as the sun arcs around and you're getting a lot of west exposure sun in the afternoon. So, and it would be a white or beige neutral color and essentially spans between each of the vertical elements. Next slide, please. So kind of wrapping up so this is a series of views from, I'll just say from the north, backing up from the Children's Museum, that you can, from up close, you don't see it. And then it starts to be visible below the guardrail and even past the entrance to the Children's Museum. It's, if you zoom way in again, you can just see it in line with the guardrail on the right, yeah. And then, so it's fairly discreet from the north side.
Can I just ask, is that what would be seen, or is that what would be seen plus these awnings or whatever is going on top of the structure? I mean, what would people actually see?
So to clarify, the louvers would be, we'll say in the base scheme, the louvers would be spanning across the top. And I guess you would be able to, if you zoomed back into that image.
Yeah, can we zoom back in on that? Okay.
So, if you're looking through that guardrail, you can see the top rail that's running not quite parallel with the guardrail of the shade structure.
But it wouldn't look like that, right?
Yes, you would have horizontal elements spanning back. There are horizontal elements on the sides right now, which you can't, you know, which are essentially coplanar, almost coplanar with the vertical ones. But they would continue across the top.
Right. So, in other words,
build the shades going across the top.
It will not be as invisible as this is showing. In other words, when the louvers are in place, you're not going to see that sky. You're going to see the underside of the louvers.
Correct.
So my point is, it's going to have a lot more presence ultimately than what this is demonstrating here. Because this, when you look at this, you say, oh, fine, it's great. It's totally invisible. But it really won't be. You will see the underside, and so it'll take on a sort of volume rather than just a skeletal openness. So I just want to, what you were referring to, Sue, is that yes, you will see more than what this is showing. And you know, it's us we need to decide whether that's problematic or not. So, all right, I'm sorry. So go ahead. Why don't you finish up then?
I think the rendering actually might give a better idea of how much mass it has.
I just have a couple more slides and then we can flip back to that. So the next set of slides are kind of backing up from Conger Street, where you know, up close again, you're not seeing it. And then kind of halfway across the bridge, you get the frame, which, as you mentioned, would have essentially like a lid to it with the louvers in the middle image. And then in the last image on the right, it kind of drops into plane with the base structure of the building and kind of recedes from view so much.
So can we zoom in on the middle image there a little bit so we can see this view? All right. So this again is going to take on, you're not going to see those clouds underneath. That will be, you'll see the underside of the louvers. So this will have, and I guess when I look at this, up to this point and up to this view, everything seemed to be blending in. Nothing seemed to be popping up above anything that's already on the roof. This view now will show this new structure breaking that line of the, the penthouse behind it. Right. So this is definitely going to be now a new element that is going to be quite visible. I mean, it's going to be, it's going to be a change in what is seen now. So I just want to, clarify that.
If you walk across the bridge, there is, the arc of, you see more and more of it, and then
really the view from inside the district is the one, kind of from the Children's Museum perspective that we saw a couple of slides ago, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same principle, David, to your point. Technically from the bridge standpoint, you're not in the district, so it doesn't really But the point is still the same. You're still from the Children's Museum side, the milk bottle side, you're going to, it's a new sort of mass that's on top of the building.
Yeah. Again, but when we were looking from the Children's Museum side, it's yes, you see it, but it doesn't pop up higher than anything else on the roof. Now, this is going to be the first view that this is going to pop up higher than anything else. So it's just something that we need to look at. So I guess. I'm sorry again. I interrupted you. Are you through? Did you, or do you have more slides?
We have one more image that I was just going to close on and say, thank you for your time and consideration. But that was pretty much the presentation. We can certainly go back to any of the images that you're would like to review further.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to start with the plan view of it, showing where it sits on the roof. And
okay. And there's actually an aerial view that's a couple slides forward of this that I think gives a pretty good, no, I'm sorry, I'm further into the, one more past this. Oh, where did it go?
Oh, I think that was it.
Oh, that was it.
This? No.
No, I think. That,
the block plan?
This one.
Yeah, well, I don't know, maybe it must have fallen out of the presentation.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is the reason I wanted to see the plan was I'm trying to envision if on, say, on this slide here, the left-hand photo, mm-hmm. if the left-hand portion of the sunshade was pulled closer to the building, well, would that decrease the view of this when you look at it from Congress Street, the bridge? Decreased its impact.
Yeah, we certainly yes, it would decrease the visual impact. We could look at how the circulation works out on there. I think that's yeah. certainly a possibility. The other thing is we could pull it back further, I'll say south. You know, away from the Children's Museum, mm-hmm. Over another bay, and then from the perspective, it wouldn't be visible at all.
That would be that's a good suggestion, because then that would eliminate its view totally from the Children's Museum, essentially, if you push it over.
Would you still be able to keep, Jeff, the same sort of amount of square footage of shaded area if you did that?
Yeah, I think so. We would essentially move it over a bay, because as I said, yeah. that the whole structure is essentially the bay spacing of the building, and the furniture layouts would kind of have to swap. I mean, it's we have it in this location, one, because it was back off the corner, but it also works out a little bit better out of for how the circulation is coming out of the existing building onto the roof terrace. That being said, I think that the client would be more interested in having the, dealing with the circulation issues, but having the shade, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is one of those shell rules, right? That you really, we're not supposed to approve anything that can be seen. So you'd be much better off if you moved it. And then if it can't be seen, then you'd be fine.
Yeah, I think that, in other words, if you move the whole structure over away from the Children's Museum, that will eliminate its view from the Children's Museum, which is in the district. So that is a view that we are paying attention to. Mm-hmm. The other side, however, Tom's point was right. I mean, the bridge on that side of the channel is really outside of our district. So even though I find that to be an iconic view because it's a threshold into the district,
agreed.
It is a view that we, aren't as strict with or shouldn't be as strict with. But if there's, can you go to the plan view? And I think that will help demonstrate again how you talked about moving it over in such. Okay, so you're talking about when you say one bay, you take that dashed structure, you're going to move it over to the next, almost to the middle bay there, right?
Correct.
Okay, so that'll be really quite a distance away from Congress Street side of the Children's Museum. So that'll be
out. Yeah, no, it certainly wouldn't be visible from the Children's All right. Museum side.
And so then the other thought I had is, why is it so far away from the building? In other words, if you pushed it closer to the building, that would take that edge that we're seeing a little further back. Might help make it or shrink it a little bit. I didn't know how did you determine the placement of it from its width?
Well, we were trying to provide a circulation zone against the building that because there's like a seating layout underneath it. And, that was the rationale there.
And then to shrink its width. In other words, keeping the line that you have it at the building side, if you were to shrink the width of it, is that going to impair your layout severely?
Well, it's you know, I mean, this isn't a fabrication as much as a product. So it kind of, my understanding is that it pretty much is the width that it you know, it's a module element, you know, so 13'3" is the width that it is.
When you say it's a prefabricated thing, you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
I see.
Yeah. So this is essentially like, you know, mm-hmm. you could have this bolted down next to your pool at your house. You know, I mean, it just kind of like shows up in pieces and bolts in place.
All right.
I mean, could I just offer one comment? I mean, the nature of that particular building is such that, you know, it's just very blocky glass, you know, green glass structure. And this seems, I mean, to the extent that it's visible, obviously from the district or even from Congress Street, or from the bridge, you know, that's an issue. But it seems to me, and I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but that this particular structure kind of fits in that same blocky sort of glass box, you know, vernacular. And so,
yeah.
Again, it's not bothersome as much to me as maybe some other, you know, something else. It would be a harsher, more standout kind of, you know, different style completely from that, you know, glass box look.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. And then also, too, this is not a historic building. This is a new building. So let's, if we can go back to that view from Congress Street, again, looking at the perspective that you showed there. And now what I want the commissioners to do is envision this now, what is shown or what is visible now in this view from Congress Street. If you envision it now pulled over one more bay.
Second to last slide.
Yeah, this one. Yeah, this one here. All right. So essentially, and if we can zoom in a little bit more to the, just to make that a little bit bigger. So what's the where it's shown here? Essentially, now it's going to move over another whole bay. I mean, I guess that doesn't change it at all. Either way. But
this is the view from the bridge, right?
Right.
Correct. Yes. Correct.
I mean, I first of all, I think it's really impossible to judge that without knowing what it's actually going to look like. And this is not what it's going to look like because it will have a roof on it or whatever else it's going to have on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you will not see the line of, I get, is that a penthouse behind it or what is that?
That is the seventh floor of the building. Okay, they have offices on that level also.
All right, so the cornice line of that penthouse as it goes behind the structure, that line is not going to be seen because you're going to have the roof of the louvers of this piece obliterate that line. So it's not going to be, you know, so you're going to see like this step up in now the profile of what you see from the bridge. And so the question is, again, it's outside of our district. So it's a view that we, you know, really can't command here too much. Is it offensive to the point where it's going to alter this building in any way, in a big way, I should say? And the fact that it's a non-historic building, it's a new building, does that help justify this bit of visibility from this particular vantage point? And you know, so and moving to another
word, would it be at all sort of onerous to just give us a rendering of some kind with it actually looking like, you know, one bay over to the right, plus here's what the actual sort of louvered structure is gonna look like against the sky.
Yeah, I think rendering should show a roof or a louver on the roof now, so we can see the volume of what this is going to be. Would help a lot.
I would, if you don't mind, mention that when we had the mock-up built, we shifted around the placement of a little bit. And we went down to the sidewalk and checked it a few times. This seemed to make the most sense of us, but since we did check a few other placements, I think we calculated about when we moved it back closer to the building, that it made a difference of maybe like 10 feet on this sidewalk of where you started to be able to.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so, Gabrielle, you're, or Gabby, you're, it's you're moving the slides, right? So if we zoom back out again, I want to see this in view of the whole. Oh, okay. That slide doesn't have. I wanted to see the whole building. I was curious as to how the.
The next slide is.
Oh, this one. This one
right on the Dorchester Ave sidewalk.
Okay, so in this case, it is on that second. Right now, it's on that second bay of columns. That's where it is. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And now we're talking about moving it to the next bay over.
Correct.
So it gets more towards now the center of this building. So. Certainly this view is fine. I mean, you don't see, it does, in other words, it does not break the cornice line of the penthouse at all, which I think is, you know, a goal. But as you get closer on the bridge, of course, there's going to be a certain amount of footage that you're going to see it. And then once you get beyond the building, of course, it disappears. So, so I'm thinking my feeling is, I guess I would be willing to accept that bit of a view based on the fact that this bridge is technically outside of our purview, but yet it is still a view that is prominent. So
you're talking about if they moved it, right, David?
Well, yes, moving it over is going to stop the view from the Children's Museum. Yeah. So that's a given. I wanted that we do have control.
Understood.
So. So the other thing I just want to make sure of, you know, because now this facade, this view that we're seeing, is that's where we're going to see that shade.
That's the next thing I wanted to discuss. And, you know, because those are, you know, I mean, that was something that, I thought would be, you know, potentially more of an issue. It wouldn't, again, as you were saying, it wouldn't be visible from the Children's Museum side, but it certainly, you would have, essentially a bay, a building bay that would be a different color at the top. Mm-hmm. That would, you know, it'd be, you know, it's like it's not completely opaque, the sunshade. It lets light through,
is that a movable shade? Is that something that attracts?
Yes. So that they would, you know. Yeah. I met in the afternoon, they would put it down and then bring it back up so it doesn't get destroyed in the wind.
Right. So, I was thinking when you were talking about the color, obviously the color of the shade is going to matter. And I'm thinking now looking at this view, you mentioned it would be sort of an off-white or something.
Yeah, like neutral. You know, I mean, that's what we were initially looking at.
I wonder if it should be more gray. So,
yeah, I mean, it certainly is available in gray, and we could provide that as an option.
Yeah, just so that color sort of blends in with the coloration.
Receives more.
Yeah.
White, even off-white doesn't sound particularly appealing to me.
Yeah, it would be too bright.
I was thinking it was going to be sort of a marine green or gray, you know, or some sort of a marine gray might be okay.
They have they stock an ebony color that we looked at with it as well, and I think that would be a nice discreet.
That could work too. Oh yeah, I didn't know how sort of black would look, but that could work as well. So, all right. So the color. What is the metal of that penthouse? What color is it now? I can't remember.
It's called indigo. Is the color?
Oh, so it's a very deep blue. Okay. Oh, yeah. Here's your things here. Okay.
Yeah. That's our structure. We're choosing this deep blue for the powder coat color, and the color of the penthouse on the building is like a greenish blue. It's the same as those base pilasters that you see in that photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, I think it definitely needs to be a dark value, the canvas awning there. I guess would be best if it matches as closely as possible this indigo color that you've got shown here. So maybe that blackish, what did you call it?
It was an ebony color.
Ebony. That might be the one that gets it closest to this value. Yeah. So. All right. So I don't want to, you know, if other commissioners, I'd like to hear. Oh, one last thing while we're here. You showed these lights here. Are these lights on the louver so that they're going to start moving with as the louver gets tipped?
They are on the louvers. Yes. I believe there would be like six of them total.
So they're going to shift. In other words, this view shows, I guess, the louver when it's in a tilted position. And then when it's the louver is completely vertical, those lights are going to be on the side. I mean, that's, I don't know, that's kind of strange.
Yeah, that's what the placement would be. I don't know if there's a specific angle where it actually shuts off. I could research that more.
Because you said
it would make no sense to have them on and facing to the side.
Into space, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you said in the winter, probably you will have these fins vertical. And so, you know, if the light happens to go on, it's going to be kind of strange. There is no other placement in the structure part itself to put the lights and not have them on the louvers?
There, you can choose to have down lights, these very small diameter down lights on the structure. We actually shied away from that because we didn't want it to look like it was illuminating the structure and like calling more attention to it. But the client has seen that version and that's appealing to them as well. We thought this might do more what the lighting should do, like just illuminate the people who are under it.
And hit down on the surface without, I think it's important to not illuminate the structure. In other words, not wash those structural pieces with light. Mm-hmm. I think that should disappear. So if these louver mounted lights are just going to throw the light directly down on the pavement and the people or whatever, that's probably preferred. You don't want to, you know, draw attention to this at night. So, all right. Well,
not to beat the dead horse, but if we can somehow gin up a mock-up, I guess, of what the actual structure maybe in that ebony is, and then the question is, do we need to see that as a commission, or can staff pass judgment on that
as a rendering or as an actual mock-up?
A rendering.
We could do that easily. We have if you go I think back a couple of slides, we can just change the colors and capture
one more
and definitely now show it in its new position.
And we did have some views of this model from various locations, which we can include.
That's what I'm looking for. Just one from the milk bottle side and one from the Congress Street Bridge side. It would suffice for me to just, you know, verify, okay, you know, this is what it is, you know, and it's not visible from the Children's Museum side.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. And if you're okay, you know, I don't know what your schedule was with putting this in. You know, we meet once a month. So I think we would like to see this next month if it's a possibility.
Okay.
And so make these changes with the position of it and then showing the louvers so we get a sense of the volume of this thing and then of the darker sunshade, you know, in a retracted position and then one with it down, I think would be really helpful. And then I'm thinking you're going to move it over one bay. I'm just thinking based on when I was looking at that elevation again, this structure is almost the width of a bay.
It is.
Correct?
So conveniently.
So it's important that we line it up with the center of the bay so that we see it from the channel. You see the lines of the building and then, you know, it'll match the lines of the structure as you see it. So that otherwise if it's off center, it's going to be really weird.
Yeah, I think that's the way they did it this time.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. All right. So then I guess that would be a continuance. And you know, we could say that we approve it in concept if that's the other commissioners are okay with that. And then I'll open it up to the public as well here. But that seems to be the direction that we would go in. If I can get the script up again. One of these days I'm going to have a script written right next to here. So I
have it memorized.
All right. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussion. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. So
I'm pulling it up to check, and I don't see any emails and no one's raising their hands.
Okay, so we'll close public comment. All right, so do we, Gabrielle, if we're going to do a continuous, we vote on that? as a commission then to, okay, so can we have a motion? What?
Yeah, no, you got a regular vote for continuance.
So if we can, and so whoever makes the motion, and then if you can just express what it is that we want to see from the applicant when they come back, that would be helpful.
I'll take a stab at it. Move to for a continuance, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the right terminology. And provisos that the bay or the louvre structure be moved one bay to the right, if you will, from the Dorchester Avenue perspective. And a rendering be provided to the next commission meeting that shows the views from Children's Museum side, Dorchester Avenue side of what an actual structure would look like.
Great, and then the rendering would show the louvers and the sunshade as well, so we can see
that. Correct.
All right, that sounds good. Second?
I'll second.
All right, Commissioner Gorganian.
Yes.
Smilage.
Yes.
Rohde.
Yes.
And the chair votes yes on that. All right. Excellent. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Sure. Okay. Next is application 23.0025, and that is the Harbor Walk adjacent to 5 Necco Street. And it's involved, the work is install a Chapter 91 interpretive sign on the Harbor Walk, consisting of a 2 foot by 4 foot graphic featuring historic images, sitting on a 4 foot high black powder coated base to be attached to an existing deck platform. This seems pretty straightforward, but let's the applicant can just quickly introduce yourselves. And, you know, I think you can go through this pretty quickly, show us where it's going to be, and then, you know, show us whatever images you might have of it. Would be, in other words, we're not looking at the content of what this is going to be, so we don't need to necessarily know that. Okay, here we go.
Hi, I'm Eileen Malvesti from National Development. As you said, we propose to install a historic marker on the Harbor Walk on Four Point Channel. The sign will sit on a platform within the Four Point Channel landmark district. If you can just, next slide. Thank you. The location is ideal because it looks out onto the Four Point Channel, which is the subject of the sign. Next slide. The sign content was created with Friends of the Boston Harbor Walk and approved by the BPDA. It consists of a 2.2 by 4 foot graphic with historic images of the channel. The graphic will sit on 2 4-foot high black powder coated bases. The bases will be attached. If you could forward just a little, maybe go back. The bases will be attached to the deck platform by the same method used on the existing railings on the platform.
All right.
The sign is freestanding and will not be attached to any building.
Oh, so is this is the stanchion here that it's going to be?
There'll be two of those.
Two of them, and then that will be housing the one large sign. Is that it?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Is that shiny stainless steel, or what is that material?
It's powder coated, so it's almost like a mat.
Oh, okay, good. It looks shiny here, but
I think it's wrapped.
Okay. No, I think this is, if that's what the graphic's going to look like, that's a really interesting photo. I like that.
It is. I just wanted to point that out. It's really a terrific photograph.
I love the graphics. My only question is, does it comply with ADA guidelines?
It does. Yes.
Great. It does. Awesome. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, is there going to be just, you know, will there be a QR code too that somebody can look at?
There will be a QR code. It's actually in the works. Once it's installed, the QR code will be right under the where it says 4 point. It'll be right under there.
Oh, great.
And it will take you to Friends of the Boston Harbor Walk website, and it will have a Spanish translation as well.
Great. Okay. I think that's exciting. So, all right. And then this is where it's positioned on that little, this is the deck that cantilevers over the, okay.
This is the existing platform. There's a little seat. It'll be in the corner. And it will be drilled into the concrete platform. the same way the railings are. So,
okay, good. All right, I don't have any problems or questions about it. Do the other commissioners have any thoughts?
Could we just try the next slide? This guy. So it's going to be from this view. Oh, I see. Okay, I see the red arrow. Yeah, the red arrow right there. Got it.
Yeah. Okay, so it's going to be essentially in place of one. It'll be in front of one of those glass panels, right?
Yes.
Is that a glass panel?
It's actually a little wire railing.
Oh, wire. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So it just falls within the Four Point Channel Landmark District on that platform.
Yep. All right. Okay. So if there's no other comments, we can open it up for public. All right. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussion. So please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov.
Tom, you can go ahead.
Thanks, Gabby. Hi, commissioners. I'm Tom Reddy, live on Wormwood Street and member of the Neighborhood Association. The question is as it relates to the translation, I heard Spanish. Is consideration been given to Chinese as well, given the proximity of this particular part of the channel to communities just across the channel in Chinatown?
Well, we can definitely look into that. Friends of Boston Harbor Walk actually did the translation for us. And if that's a consideration, we can definitely look into getting that as well.
Thanks, Eileen. This community, we have a number of communities that we're trying to get to come to the channel. And clearly we have a large contingency of Asian Americans on the other side of the channel. And the more we can do, the better, I guess. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I don't see that as being a problem at all.
All right. Any other comments? No emails, nothing. Okay. All right. So we will close the public comment period. And so if somebody wants to make a motion.
Sure. Move to approve as submitted.
Okay. Second?
I'll second it.
All right. So Commissioner Smilage?
Yes.
Gorgenian?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
And chair votes yes. So when is that? What's your schedule on this in terms of getting it out there?
Actually, it is manufactured. It's sitting waiting to be installed. I just spoke to the installer yesterday and he said once we get the go ahead, he can probably do it in a week.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
If you can remember, let me know. I'd love to see it next time I'm in the district.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll send you an email.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks. And
thank you.
That is the last application. So the next item is ratification of the July 14 public hearing minutes. If we can have a motion to, or if anybody has any changes or comments, otherwise a motion to accept.
I'll move to accept the minutes.
Second.
Okay. Second, okay. We'll just do a all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. All right. Staff comments or updates, rather.
Don't really have any staff updates. I was just doing a lot of thinking today about Lynn's comment and like via email earlier about potentially trying to streamline stuff. And I think that we're sort of kicking into gear of trying to get that sort of thing done. I know that we'll start working on some other districts the standards and criteria just to adapt it and that sort of thing. And if the Four Point Commission wants to update the Four Point standards and criteria, I think we can definitely do that. I'm not sure exactly what it entails because I've not sort of led that effort before, but.
Well, I actually think there's an easier thing we can do. And tonight was a really good example that mm-hmm. awning.
Mm-hmm.
You should feel empowered to tell them that we are not going to approve an awning that can be seen from the Harbor Walk. And frankly, that they shouldn't come here and take up our time with it. Because that's the kind of thing that I find really frustrating, because this is a shall not, then we really can't approve that if you can stand there at the Children's Museum and see it. And you should feel empowered to say, you know what, the commission's not going to be able to approve this. You really need to revise it.
Yeah. So we definitely do that. And we had to, actually with those applicants, had to already sort of tell them that, because they were trying to do some like other stuff too that was like not totally permittable. But I had to tell them, you know, this is visible, a visible structure, but, you know, people choose to move forward and bring it to the commission anyway. And that's sort of what we've been instructed to do, just like on the staff levels, like, you know, we still have to put them on, even if, you know, if they're saying, put me on, you know, staff doesn't deny an application, it's the commission. So.
No, but I think you could tell them that, if you chose to, and you might, this might be too uncomfortable, Gabby, and you might not want to do it, but I mean, I think you could say to them that, and this is to protect yourself really, right? That you're going to let the commissioners know that you have passed on to them what the standards and criteria are, so that we will know that they are coming to us, even though you have told them not to.
Yeah.
Because that's what will eventually drive me off of these, is that I just can't stand the time taken where everybody knows the answer is going to be no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
that if they are told that this is going to slow their project, I mean, this is going to set them back. If you feel certain that it won't be approved.
Well, and Lynn, your point also was that, gee, you know, really mundane issues like HVAC, you know, kind of it's invisible from the street. There's nothing, no visual impact. Could we just
and staff would have to judge the degree of visual impact.
Right.
And I think two examples tonight, two applications that really I think staff should have been able to approve was that first one, the Immuta sign.
Yep.
And then I think the painting is just the maintenance, right?
I don't disagree. I think that sometimes it's a little unclear on when, like things with signage, for example, like, you know, they said so they're putting the mortar joints and it's like mostly we want to see, but you also like want to see like the actual signage, you know, it feels funny to just administrate.
But we don't really have authority. We don't have authority over logos or colors.
I thought we did.
Certainly not over a logo design. Well, the color of a sign.
But a color and a size.
But the size, it was obvious that the size was appropriate.
Size,
You know, it's subjective.
Right. I wanted to see the thing, and I'm sorry. And of course, I missed it because my computer.
I just thought it was a nice, it was very small. I mean,
significant. Yeah.
Because, you know, Gabby, and you've seen, I'm sure, the list that the landmarks, sometimes there's like 15 things that the staff have approved that we're just signing off on.
Yeah, no, hold on. I think, nothing. I was just thinking because we're still recording the hearing.
No, I think that's fine. I think it's fine that this is being recorded.
You're right. I think I wanted to be a little bit more candid then.
Well, and you need to, and the staff shouldn't take on something that's uncomfortable, but I think that if there's a way to convey that the commission really wants applicants to have looked at the criteria before they come here and not to come in with something that is in direct violation of the criteria.
Yeah. I promise you that I have this conversation with applicants frequently in Fort Point, in South End, like not Mission Hill, but you know, for all intents and purposes, all the districts, and like people just, I will think of I'll workshop a very polite way to perhaps write in staff comments that.
Not just write in staff comments, and you're free to comment anytime you want, and I might just say at the outset, you know, here's the next application. And I just want you to know that staff doesn't believe that this is approvable, or there's no reason why you can't say that up front.
Right. I think
we had to get all the way through it took a while to get to the point in the consideration of the application to realize, oh no, you know, mm-hmm. And because the staff comments are, I think your thoughts are sometimes wasted if they're just shared with us. You know, the applicant really should be aware as well.
And I think, well, Lynn, what you said about slowing them down is actually really key.
Oh, yeah.
They don't like that. If they had done it differently, they'd be all set now, and they're not.
Yeah.
That hits them right where they feel it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think regarding the staff comments, I mean, maybe I need to say, Gabby, do you have any staff comments or something, and have you make your statements? I do hesitate. I know, because you did this way in the beginning. I do hesitate having you make the comments before the, applicant even presents, because I just feel like I like to have the commissioners see it fresh. And then, I mean, the commissioners should have already read your comments based on what you put in the, online. Mm-hmm. But somehow I just feel like it's our role to sort of see these things and make determinations, and then
and listen with an open mind, if you will.
But we will not be able to staff these commissions if they become too onerous for people. And I think we have to do, and it's not the staff's fault, we have got to find a way to do a better job of keeping things away from the commission that shouldn't be coming, because it's just too much of a burden for people. And the South End is obviously the worst example, but the staff has to be able to say, you need to understand that this is not going to get approved, and you risk, frankly, delaying things if you go forward with it.
I don't know if anybody remembers William Young, who was staff for Back Bay, but he had quite a reputation for being, very strong.
He was a little too much.
I agree, but a little more of that maybe.
And he was requiring, he wouldn't allow staff or not staff, no, he wouldn't allow public comments until after the motion was
made. Right.
And I just thought that was totally wrong.
I think that was the same at Beacon Hill as well for a while.
In the South End.
South End before it changed. Yeah.
Oh, we still do the South End.
Well, anyway, maybe we can think about how to.
So my two suggestions are my two sort of responses are, number one, it is genuinely my fault that we had some pretty applications that should have just been administrative. I did not have the time that I wanted to put into the prepping for the hearing this week and last week. I was telling David, but Rachel's on vacation. I'm just doing this alone right now. And just it's genuinely my fault. And I wasn't able to move things.
Gabby, you are not, nobody's blaming you for anything.
No, I just wanted to give you some context that there are things I'm that sign shouldn't have really been designed for you. But we are working on commissioner handbooks, and we are sending them out to all of the commissioners for all the districts, and that will have a sort of script for how we should actually be running the meeting. So we'll have a part for the for the chair to say, okay, and now staff, what are your comments? And then staff to be like, my comments are this, and then how to actually go about each sort of an agenda item. So I think maybe that might help sort of streamline that part with the staff comments, give a good part for me to interject in.
We just want you to feel empowered.
I appreciate it. No, I want to also. I mean, I'm sure, some of you may know, but sometimes people have a hard time just hearing, from me.
I mean, I think, I think what you do is good. And then I think also too, you can make those, you can make those suggestions to the applicant saying, I know that this is visible from the Children's Museum, therefore I think the commission is not going to be in favor of that. And I'm just letting you know that. So in other words, put it in their lap so that they don't, they make the determination, I guess, as to whether they feel they would still want to go ahead with it. I think that's appropriate at least. So
I appreciate all of you.
The other thing we could do is there might be times when it's worth reading the relevant language at the beginning of the presentation.
Yeah.
Standards and criteria. Yeah, that's all you have to do. Just read them. Yeah.
I do try some, I mean, I think I put it into a couple of the comments for this meeting, but I tried to like just copy and paste from the guidelines as much as I can.
No, but I mean, read it out loud. Hearing
out loud.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So the applicant hears it. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's what we do for design review. I think that we see they take the excerpts from the
handbook
and then actually put it in the comments. So we as commissioners then are reminded about what the standard of criteria actually says.
Yeah.
So that's, but you know, it's another task to do. So I understand that.
Maybe throw that into the presentation or something too.
Yeah. Yep.
All
right. Gabby, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is a conversation for all the commissions,
right?
That all of the staff to have. It applies not just to this one, but to all of them.
Yeah.
I think it's ultimately Joe's responsibility, right, to provide the guidance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that's worth saying is the few times that I have seen things where the staff judge something differently from the commission was in every case stricter than the staff would have been. So the applicant would have been better off taking their win and going home than coming to the commission.
Yeah. Right, I can think of a couple,
That's true, no, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, apropos of nothing, Gabby, I'm just missing your cat. Or cats, I'm not sure.
None of them came to this meeting. They all have better things to do.
Really?
Well, things to do.
Clearly. And I don't know, but I just missed my Matrix moment where it would go across and it was, the experience of deja vu of the, same cat just going. Anyway.
Except three, and they all kind of look the same from like one angle. So it's like one cat is anyway.
Yeah, no, it's very sci-fi.
Hang in there, Gabby.
Yeah, I'm trying. This isn't relevant to this. I'm sorry. I was gonna say I'm going on vacation next week, but Rachel, I was gonna say if there's anything anybody needs, Rachel will be here. I will not be. I don't think.
Okay.
That's anything.
Have fun.
Right. Thank you.
Definitely.
Yeah.
To adjourn.
We didn't adjourn yet, did we?
Oh, yeah,
so motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Second. All those in favor, aye.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night,
thank you.
Bye, guys. Bye. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.